Welcome to Trailblazers, where we explore the inspiring journeys of entrepreneurs and industry leaders who are redefining success and making a lasting impact. These game changers are driving progress in our region and around the world. I'm Melody Bradford, your host. Welcome to Trailblazers. I'm Melody Bradford. Today's guest is Karen Widrick, owner and restaurateur of Lotus Restaurant Group, which includes Edge Restaurant in Bethlehem, Serve Restaurant in Easton, and Sunnyside Up in Easton. Three very different concepts, all rooted in quality, creativity, and community. Karen's story is one of vision, partnership, and perseverance. Alongside her husband, acclaimed chef Tim Widrick, she has helped shape the Lehigh Valley's dining scene while also giving back through community fundraising and initiatives like Yes Chef, which supports and uplifts culinary professionals. In this conversation, we'll talk about how Karen got started, how leadership evolves in a fast-paced industry, how passion becomes purpose, and what's still to come. Karen, welcome to Trailblazers. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Melody. Thank you for having me.
So I want to start with you. Tell me a little bit about your background and the path that led you into the food and hospitality world, because you've been there a while,
yes.
Right?
Since I'm 18, believe it or not.
Wow.
So I grew up wanting to do construction, believe it or not, because that's what my father does, and it was a family business, two generations. And that was like in the 80s. Well, women really didn't do construction, nor would they own a business back then. So I was kind of pushed out a little bit, and then I became a hostess at, believe it or not, the Red Lobster at the Lehigh Valley Mall.
Oh, it was right here then.
Right here, okay. Right here in the valley. And then I turned into a bartender, which then turned into the Holiday Inn Conference Center out in Fogelsville, which is I think it's called something different now, which I was a cocktail waitress when it was the Budweiser Tap Room, which led me into an assistant food and beverage director, the only female in the company, and then everything spiraled from there. So from nightclubs to sports bars to high-end restaurants, fine dining, you name it, I've done it.
Well, and it's a demanding industry, right? And
very.
What made you decide to not only embrace it but also grow in it?
I love not doing the same thing all the time. Mm. I love the challenges. Every day is different. You can plan your day to the T, and it'll never happen. Just being able to shift, growing with it, you lose a lot of time with it as well because it's so fast paced. You're constantly working 3 months ahead while people are in the now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm looking at March, April, what are we doing in June?
Mm-hmm.
So just to stay ahead of everything going on in our industry.
Yeah. In your early days, you had talked a little bit about the roles that you took on. What did those hands-on experiences teach you about leadership and about...
Basically, it taught me to get your hands dirty. You know, dive in with your team, work side by side with them.
Mm-hmm.
Doing that has taught me and even my team members just like the boundaries and the walls that we can break just by working together as a team. I've worked for restaurants where ownership didn't necessarily do that. So it was a little more chaotic than it needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So this way, it's like we work in a chaotic industry. So to try to ground it a little bit,
mm-hmm.
Just to make it, I don't want to say, just to more make it more grounded, just more a little bit more stability.
Mm-hmm. So Hollywood, interestingly enough, depicts the restaurant industry and kind of what goes on in the kitchen is being quite volatile.
Yes.
And here you are, not only in that industry, but you're working alongside your husband.
Oh, yeah.
Which let's just take a pause for a second, okay? Because think about anybody who's listening that actually works with their spouse. That can be a challenging environment. But you work as true partners in this journey. How did you meet, and when did you realize you shared a common vision, and how do you execute upon that?
So it's always been a struggle before meeting my husband, being in relationships with people that aren't in the industry. So I met my husband at Corked Wine Bar and Steakhouse, which has changed names. He came in.
Did not know that.
Yeah. So he was, at the time, the executive chef at Edge. I was the bar manager of Corked Wine Bar and Steakhouse at the time. And then he came in as a guest, and I didn't know who he was. And it probably took me about three times till I found out who he was. And then I made a reservation with everybody, my team at Cork, to go have dinner up at Edge so I can meet him. And then we briefly went across the street to grab a drink at Ripper's. And I mean briefly. It was like 2 minutes because he had to go home and feed the pellet stove. And I was like, what? It's like our ongoing story. And then it took about 2 weeks before our schedules would allow us to have lunch. And that was pretty much it. That was in November 19th, 12 years ago. We were engaged by March the following year, and wow, we were married July.
Wow.
So we'll be celebrating 12 years this year.
Oh, my goodness. Yep. Now, let me ask you, how do you balance marriage and partnership and, most importantly, leadership, especially in such a high-pressure industry?
In the beginning, it was tough. I'm not going to lie. Yes, it was extremely tough. A lot of yelling and screaming.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
And how long were you married at that point?
Not even a year.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Not even a year. So, you know, we got married really quick, and then we jumped into a business together, and we, like, where he, I'm a very controlling person, and he is controlling as well. And when you have two high strung personalities come together, obviously there's some explosions. So when we had that, I think what really helped us is, believe it or not, when we opened Serve, now Serve just turned 5 years old. So it gave us that separation. Mm. But at the same time, before we opened Serve, we also had the pandemic. Mm. Now, mind you, we have been side by side morning, noon, and night. So when the pandemic happened, it was kind of like the reverse role. Mm. Other spouses were getting divorced. We knew a lot of people that got divorced because they were home together all day. And Tim and I are sitting in the backyard, cheers, and like, we practice for this. So, I mean, it's like any marriage, any job, any relationship, everything has their ups and downs. Nothing's perfect. It's about communication and just sticking by and working through it.
And but, you know, so you're in that environment. You're you're in the kitchen. There's a couple of blowouts or whatever. How do you put it all together from a leadership perspective? How did you lead the team at that time?
In the beginning, it was kind of like everyone didn't know what to do because we were both in leadership roles. But as time went on and Tim and I grew together, and we grew to understand each other's like what was allowed with boundary wise. Mm. And then like my role developed, you know, into the COO of the company. His role was the executive chef of the company. So it's like I took on a bigger role managing everyone, and everything just kind of fell into place.
Mm-hmm.
But even during the pandemic, when we opened Serve, Tim had to leave to go open Serve, and I stayed back, and we couldn't hire anybody. So I became a full-time line cook on top of running the company. So I was in the kitchen on the line with the team, and then that's it.
Yeah. It evolved.
Yeah. It just evolved.
So, you know, Lotus Restaurant Group expanded.
Yep.
How did your role as leader evolve? And tell, I mean, because you've actually just hired or you now have a chef de cuisine. Explain to me what that is. I know what it is because I just looked it up. But explain what that is and how that's evolved and what that means for the group.
So we have chef de cuisine. We have chef de cuisine Kyle at Edge, and we have chef de cuisine Alex. She is at Serve. So basically, they are in charge of the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So Tim is the executive chef of the company. So they go to him for their leadership, input, menu development, pricing, cost, all that stuff. I just happen to be involved in all of it. I've worked every aspect in the restaurant. I mean, I'll be a dishwasher if I have to.
Mm.
So there isn't a position that I haven't worked in the, I lie. The only position I haven't worked is grill. I can do everything else, but I have not worked the grill.
It's the only position. I can't work a grill either.
I mean, I can work a grill. I just don't know if I want to do it for like 200 people.
Yeah.
I'm sure if I had to do it, I would do it. But it's one thing I'm like, I think I'll pass.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So you now have these two new leaders in place.
Is in the kitchen. Yeah.
Is that a evolution that you think will kind of take you to the next level? And how do you scale within an industry like, you know, the restaurant business?
Well, what do you mean by scale?
You know, like evolve, expand.
It's all about the infrastructure that you have within your group. We have a really great infrastructure from, you know, general managers at each store to assistant managers to our chef de cuisines. We have a marketing manager. We have an events coordinator. Mm. There's myself, my business partner, who's our CFO, and then my husband, who is the executive chef. So we have a great team. We have great teams underneath us that help us evolve to the next level and allow us to be able to do the outside events that we do, be able to give back to the community like we do, to be able just to, you know, take a Saturday off and go to Seeds Farm and cook, you know, make breakfast sandwiches for, you know, the donors and things like that. So being able to be present in the community, our teams allow us to do that.
Yeah, that Seed Farm, I did one of the Seed Farm experiences, and
it's awesome. It really is great.
We're going to get into community fundraising and giving back in just a moment. But real quick, I mean, you talked a little bit about that growth. What are the most important leadership lessons you've learned through growth? And a few maybe hard moments.
I had to grow myself. I was very, I don't want to say naive, but naive to what a leader was. And then, you know, once I realized that I had to take a step back and basically understand where people are coming from, understand their feelings, understand that people are going to take advantage of you no matter how nice you are, which was probably the hardest part of being a leader, is like investing time into somebody and then to turn around and be stabbed in the back. Mm-hmm. And it happens more than you think, but it's okay because it's still growth and you learn from it. So you have to take away those moments and just say, all right, I'm going to not change who I am as a person, but I am going to learn from this instant, and maybe I'll do things just a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. So, and there's a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of people I've helped, and there's a lot of people that are generally, you know, thankful that I did. And then there's people that I've helped that I'm the bad person. So you have to really have, I don't want to say thick skin, but be able to shed that type of, like, energy, like, from people and just keep going and be present and, like, work with the people that are at hand, like, that are in front of you.
Yeah. And loyalty is probably a
It's tough.
Big thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's an interesting perspective because a lot of times you hear leaders talk about, you know, how to support the team. But when it comes to the emotional, mental health of, you know, the leader, especially in the restaurant business, because it can be so volatile. Like, you don't think about that perspective and, you know, somebody taking advantage of the leader. You know, it's the troops that are always like, I don't want to be taken advantage of, you know.
Well, and that's just it. And, like, I have even my teams now, when someone does try to take advantage of me, they're very protective because I protect them. Mm-hmm. Like, through and through. Now, if in any way I'm now being disrespected in a way, or I feel I'm being taken advantage of, then we just simply move past. Mm-hmm. And that's just the best way to do it, you know.
Let's talk a little bit about some of these initiatives in your community and purpose, because I want to talk about one of the initiatives that kind of address that. But before we get there, your restaurants are known for giving back. Why is community fundraising such a core part of Lotus Restaurant Group's mission, and how do you guys approach it? Tell me a little bit about those, what you do.
So we started doing this it'll be 7 years this August. We were doing, I wanted to do in-house networking events to bring people together. And what we did was we would find nonprofits and charities, and what Edge would do, because we started it with Edge, we would donate all the food. So we would allow them to charge like a $20, $25 ticket. 100% of those proceeds went to that nonprofit or charity. Mm. And then it brought people in the restaurant, and it brought networking and people getting together. When the pandemic happened and all the inside stopped, it was like something like a void was missing. So I was like, what can we do? Now, one of the foundation that's out of Broadwell Middle School in Bethlehem, that was my very first networking event. Mm. Tim and I got to go to, like, they have a farm or a garden on top of the school, and we got to go see it, and the kids showed us what they were growing, and then we were able to have the kids come to the restaurant, and Tim did a cooking demonstration for them.
Oh, wow.
And then we made them lunch, and we had a lot of fun, and the kids, they enjoyed the cookies more than they liked the pasta with the vegetables.
That they were growing?
Right. But they didn't. It was a great experience. So one of the things was, the director of Broggle, they were struggling with food because these kids were when you go to school and you're like, schools were closed, so they were struggling with like
food
getting
security.
Meals. Yeah, food
mm-hmm.
security. So what we started to do then is we were making 100 meals for a family of four and then donating them. And that started in April. Well, that just spiraled then into doing curbside charities.
Chills.
We still continue to do. So now we still do our curbside charities once a month. And then we also brought back last year our indoor networking. So the second Tuesday of every month is indoor networking. And then the last Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of the month is our curbside charity.
Mm, that's awesome. And yeah. So many different organizations have benefited from that
yes.
throughout the Lehigh Valley.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And I have to say, I have done some of those curbside pickups and they are wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
And let's not forget about the also helping out with some of us that don't want to cook every single dish that goes along on the holidays, mm-hmm. you know, really fantastic curbside pickup from that perspective as well for Thanksgiving
yes.
and Christmas and
yeah.
stuff like that. So let's talk a little bit about Yes Chef Initiative. You're involved with Yes Chef. Can
Correct.
You explain what that initiative is and why it matters to you and how it got started and why?
So I did not start Yes Chef. That is Elaine Zelker. Yes,
mm-hmm.
she is the one, the mastermind behind Yes Chef. I am beyond proud to be a part of it with her and to be a part of her team because she is so creative and the passion she has put behind Yes Chef and her wanting to highlight what our industry goes through and me understanding what it is because I'm working alongside of our culinary industry of the Lehigh Valley and just the struggles. You know, the substance abuse, the mental abuse, just, you know, everyday life abuse,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, and it's like, but at the end of the day, us as a team, and I say team because everyone in the culinary industry is a family.
Mm-hmm.
And just wanting to put out the best possible food to feed Lehigh Valley and just bring smiles to everyone's face,
mm-hmm.
you know, to have that experience.
Yeah, the Yes Chef Initiative, I mean, you guys do fundraising around that. I know
Correct.
We're going to be able to do some programming. What are some of the programs that you guys...
She is putting together retreats for mental health awareness. Mm-hmm. There's counseling, substance abuse counseling. We have the Yes Chef event. We're going to have fundraisers this coming year. We actually have a board meeting coming up this week, so I'll have more details to come with that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the first of its kind almost,
yes.
especially for this area. I don't know about nationwide, but it's a really cool initiative that addresses a subset that, you know, sometimes stays out of sight, out of mind, right? Like you guys are in the kitchen and... you know, creating these magnificent meals for us and taking care of us, right? But at the end of the day, who's taking care of you guys,
right?
Right.
So right.
It's a
really... And that's why she created this to basically, and like, her, you know, her husband, Zeke, is in it as well. So it's mm-hmm. like no one has.
And Zeke is also a chef.
Yes. Yeah. Zeke is also okay. a chef as well. So yeah. like, you know, no one has recognized it. And for her to be able to like to create this and bring it to awareness is just amazing.
Super cool.
Yes.
Super cool. Navigating stress and growth. Restaurants are fast-paced and demanding. How have you managed stress, especially during periods of exponential growth? Because you guys have really evolved, you know?
I am. It's kind of weird, but stress doesn't affect me. But I also make sure I take time to decompress.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, and as simple as I sit outside and watch the birds. I have multiple bird feeders and I have a bench that I sit underneath a pine tree uh-huh. and I literally sit there and just decompress and watch the birds.
Wow.
Yep.
Stay present in the moment.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, you would never think that something so simple.
It's so simple. Like, you know, I have a Fitbit and like I'm constantly, you know, my beats per minute could be over 100 because I'm going, going, going.
Right.
But I could sit on the bench and watch the birds and get it down to 59. And just decompress.
Wow.
Turn the phone off, just sit there and just listen to the birds.
That's awesome. And breathe.
Yeah, and breathe. And hiking. I do a lot of hiking.
Yeah.
So I'll get outdoors and hike. Just not right now.
There's something to be said for resilience, you know, and it doesn't mm-hmm. happen by accident. So that's awesome. From staffing to economics, this restaurant industry has faced some real challenges. What has helped you adapt and keep moving forward?
Just the ability to shift. Not staying grounded or fixated on one thing, being able to let go and shift with the present. I can, like I said in the beginning, I think I could have my day down to the dotted I and T crossed. Doesn't happen. Mm. I can shift 5 times a day. I can shift 50 times a day. Whatever needs to happen just to keep it moving and not have the basically everything come crushing down mm-hmm. on you.
Yeah.
So, and I've learned that probably over the last 3 years.
I was going to say probably, yeah. With the onset of COVID was mm-hmm. probably a really tough time.
Yeah.
Interesting. But from that has been born you guys are known for collaborations and special events.
Yep.
How do those partnerships elevate both the business and the community? And tell me a little bit about some of those and what might be coming up or where to find what's coming up, because you never know, this might air again in the future.
I mean, best way is our social media. Everything we do is posted on our Instagram and Facebook page, and it's separate with each restaurant. We're always trying to be present in the community. Mm-hmm. Our schedule isn't quite out just yet for this year. So once I have that finalized, you can definitely look at it.
Yeah. But you have the wine dinners, right, that
yep.
you've done.
Wine dinners.
Which are wonderful.
Wine dinners are, we have those all booked out for the year. And those dates are varied depending on, like, typically the wine dinners are the last Wednesday and Thursday of the month. Mm-hmm. But like last weekend was a wine dinner because this week is restaurant week. So the best thing to do is definitely follow us on our Facebook pages. Mm-hmm. So you simply just either go to Edge Restaurant or Serve Restaurant. Mm-hmm. And then you can find all of our events there on the page.
Some of my favorites are the wine dinners.
Wine dinners.
Breakfast.
The breakfast. Breakfast.
Jazz nights.
No, we're not doing jazz right now. So we tried to do jazz. Didn't really take off too much. But
okay.
We are going to be opening Edge up for brunch starting in March.
Nice.
So we have open Serve Up for brunch on Saturdays. So if you're looking for a Saturday brunch spot, you definitely should check out Serve.
I will.
If you haven't checked out Sunnyside Up, that's 7 days a week. We're known for our pancakes there. Mm. We're told that they're some of the best in the valley. Mm, so
they are.
Our secret ingredient.
I try not to eat pancakes too often, but when I do.
Sunny side up.
Exactly. What about some of those collaborations? I know you've partnered with not just, different organizations, but right across the hall from you is AM Lux.
So AM Lux, Anne-Marie and I have done a lot of collaborations. We have, and I'm pretty sure the date is April 30th. We are doing her spring fashion show again. Mm. I believe we're partnering with St. Luke's again as well to do that. So mm-hmm. we do a lot of collaboration with AM Lux.
The Children's Hospital, you guys just did a book drive or something like
so
that?
So we do give it, so every, starting Giving Back Tuesday, this year we did board books for yes. both hospitals, yeah. St. Luke's and Lehigh Valley Jefferson. Last year we just did, last year was just Lehigh Valley, wasn't Jefferson yet, pajamas. So we did the pajama drive. This year we did the book drive. I'm trying to think of what else we do. Honestly, we do so much. I tend to forget what I do. Because I do it. It's kind of one of those things. I don't do it to brag about it or talk about it. I just do it to do it.
Yeah.
Because it just makes you feel good.
Right.
It's a feel good.
Progress.
It's a feel good moment.
Yeah.
It keeps my blood pressure down.
Well, the Lehigh Valley's restaurant scene has grown pretty significantly, especially over the last 5 years or so. What excites you most about where it's headed as a region?
I am excited, and especially being a part of Yes Chef and being introduced to so many chefs, meeting the young culinary team members that are coming up in the Lehigh Valley. Mm. It's very exciting just to see their initiative and their passion in the food that they want to put out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We talk a little bit about next generation and what that looks like. What do you foresee as far as...
We have a lot of good talent in the Valley.
Yeah?
Yeah, we do.
That's awesome.
We do.
We have a lot
of great talent in the Valley.
How do you think food festivals and community events help build a stronger local food culture?
It brings all of us in the culinary industry together, and then the collaboration happens, and then that's a lot of fun. Like me watching Tim with Sean Doyle or Chris Heath or Mike Pichetto from Third and Fairy or even Zeke, because Zeke and Tim used to work together at Edge. So it's like watching all of them come together and collab, and they're, I don't want to say older generation, but they're the older generation. They've been around longer. And then watching the younger generation come in and then interact with them and the collaborations and It's just a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, when I get to some of the food festivals, which I love to attend, and I actually judged a chef cook-off this past summer, everybody present just does such a phenomenal job. And not only do you show up for your restaurants, but then you also show up at these, you know, for the representation of what's happening, you know, in the region and driving it forward.
Well, even take Yes Chef, for instance. Look at, like, there were 23 chefs there this year?
Wow.
Like they, everyone came and just put their best out. And it was like, we were walking around and everyone's giving each other food. And it's just the community and the collaboration. It's like everyone's outside of their restaurant in one space. And it's like, the energy is just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the energy is amazing.
Yeah. When you look back, what moments are you most proud of? And what's still ahead for Lotus Restaurant Group and for you and Tim personally, do you think?
Well.
That's a loaded question, isn't
it? Yeah, that's a lot. Well, you know, I don't know yet. There's still some things that I want to do. Tim wants me to not do, but now. I'm not sure. Right now, we're just focusing on just the restaurants themselves. Maybe something else comes along. Maybe not. Can't really say.
We'll have to have you come back and announce it here first.
Yeah. Maybe we'll talk later. But yeah, I mean, just growth right now. Just keep it growing. Like, we have a lot of growth. Like I said, we just opened Edge up for breakfast. So that will be a year this April. Sunnyside Up will only be 3 years old this April. So we still have babies that we're working with.
Mm-hmm.
So just to concentrate on.
Yeah.
So we'll concentrate on them for right now. And then we'll see what happens come into the year.
What's success for you?
What is success for me? When other people are happy. That's what success is for me. When I walk in and I see my teams and they're all healthy and happy. That's what it's about.
Any advice for other leaders?
I don't really know. I mean, because I don't really, it's weird. I don't view myself as a leader. I just view myself as, I just work here and I come in and just help wherever I can. So I guess just maybe get to know your team, see where they need help. Maybe it's personal outside of work, not necessarily in work.
Mm-hmm.
And just
get it done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Karen, thank you for sharing your story, not just the success, but the heart behind it. Your leadership reminds us that restaurants are more than businesses. They're gathering places, employers, and community builders. The Lehigh Valley's food scene is richer because of leaders like you, and it's exciting to imagine what comes next. To our listeners, thank you for joining us on Trailblazers. I'm Melody Bradford. Until next time, support local, lead with heart, and keep blazing new trails.